when the gospel writers tell us an event like this one, and in the tradition, all the gospels tell us, you see, first about the multiplication of the loaves, then about the disciples leaving, the reason being probably, as John implies, the crowd got all excited. Moses fed people in the desert. This man's feeding people. He must be our new Moses. And if he's our new Moses, then he's the one going to get an army and drive the Romans out of here. And we'll be with them all the way, etc. And so Jesus said to the disciples, get out of here. And he went up to the top of the mountain and prayed. Then he joined them by walking on the sea. Now, suppose you were in that group of people, the original 12 or others, entrusted with trying to make that incident intelligible. Where does it fit? What is it all about? Why tell this story about Jesus walking on the water? And if you do, how do you tell it? Well, the first thing, you tell it biblically. It's not unlikely that the men who wrote the New Testament knew they were writing Scripture, because all they were doing was taking the Old Testament and bringing it to bear and to show you that everything there has taken place. This particular incident, particularly as recounted by John, you see, is a good example. We are beginning to try nowadays to recover a better appreciation of the particular grace of Mother of God community, to receive revelation from Scripture and to live it out. We've all agreed on that. Well, how does Scripture work? How do we do that? How do we get revelation from Scripture? Well, you see, it's allusion. What words do they take? Why are they doing that? They're trying to show us, as most powerfully as they can, the divine reality of Jesus Christ, who multiplied this bread, prophesying by that how he would take care of his people until the end of the world with his own body and his own teaching. And so, how do you convey that? Well, you could, you know, type up a little essay. And people would say, that's nice. But if you insert it, show how it's part of divine history. And that's why the way the New Testament is written is by way of allusion. Well, allusions only work if you know what they're alluding to, right? And that means knowing the Bible. I'm trying to show you now, you see, this is Psalm 107. And it's a psalm, you see, the title that the authors give, the editors, God, the Savior of Men in Distress. So, it starts, they went astray in the desert wilderness, they couldn't find a city, and they cried to the Lord, and he brought them to a city. And then, so forth, you see. They go on to tell, all right, now, you remember the psalm just said they went down to the sea, right? Or the gospel told us. The first line was what? The disciples of Jesus went down to the sea. Why would you talk like that? Went down to the sea. You see, we'll listen to what it says here. Talking about those who were sick, those who were in jail, and then finally, they who sail the sea in ships, is this translation, they missed it, see. The Hebrew text says, and so does the Greek. Those who went down to the sea in ships. Oh. He's going to make a connection between this psalm. It goes on, you see, they saw the works of the Lord and His wonders in the abyss. He commanded, His command raised up a storm wind which tossed up waves on high. They bounded up to heaven. They sank to the depths. Their hearts melted away in their fright. They reeled and staggered like drunken men and so forth. Then they cried to the Lord. This is the way this, every one of these incidents. Then they cried to the Lord in their distress. Just read this psalm. It's very encouraging when you're having a hard time yourself. They cried to the Lord in their distress. And He hushed the storm to a gentle breeze and so forth. And then He brought them to the place they wanted to go. He brought them to the desired haven. Okay? Now, let's look again. That's God doing that, right? Now, He's trying to tell us who Jesus is. And so, after talking about that multiplication of the loaves, He's Moses, obviously, feeding people in the desert miraculously with bread. That's Moses, isn't it? So here's Jesus, the fulfillment of Moses. The people get that. And they say, well, this is great. Moses beat up the Egyptians and got us out of there. This Moses is going to beat up the Romans and we're going to drive them out. And Jesus was doing that on purpose. Remember, this is at the Feast of Passover. The Feast of Passover was near, is the very first line of John 6. Are you getting tired of this? I'm trying to help you enter into this inheritance of Scripture. You see? Okay. So they went down to the sea. Okay. The only other time that phrase comes in the Bible is that text. So He's going to describe this incident, but He's going to describe it through the filter of that work of Almighty God on the sea. Why? Because Jesus is going to reveal Himself as Almighty God. That's why. And so it goes on, you see. It had grown dark and seen the road and they weren't getting anywhere and so forth. And then Jesus came walking on the sea, okay? And they got afraid. So what did He say? I am. Now, you can say I am in Greek, ego eimi, which means I am, but it also could mean it is I. So here's Jesus saying, as He does, as you know, many times in John's Gospel, ego eimi. They come to arrest Him. And they're looking for Jesus of Nazareth. And He stands there and says, ego eimi. And they all fall down. John tells us that, right? And so, He's revealing Himself. Ego eimi. I am the Lord. And then, He brought them to the port, the haven for which they were heading. Isn't that the way that incident in the psalm ends? So what are we supposed to do now? We're supposed to take this and see how you overlay one with the other. And now what do you see? You see God incarnate, walking on the sea, coming, calming His friends, God, announcing who He is. Why? Because He's just promised to feed the church on His body and blood until He comes back. Now, what could that possibly mean? Well, it means the Scriptures, for one thing. But it also means physically, as we were doing yesterday, if you remember, you know, physically to feed us on His body and blood. So every time we come to Mass, we're fed on His body and blood in the Word, and then on His body and blood in the sacrament. How did I get all that out of that? By just watching the illusions. They went down to the sea. They were having trouble. He came to them. They saw Him. They got afraid, and He made a divine declaration. Ego eimi, I am. It can mean it is I, but it also means I am. And then he brought them to the haven they desired, which is the way that psalm ends. Now do you see what Lectio Divina is? It's pondering so that the reality of Jesus, God incarnate, walking on the sea, coming his disciples, is meant to confirm all the promises of God incarnate in the discourse that's going to follow now about giving you my body and my blood to feed on. Think of it. I'm going to give you my stuff, myself, my word, my flesh to live by. That's the way we read, you see. You can't pick it up like it's a magazine. This is a sacred text, and it explains itself by echo. There's a very likely possibility that the men who wrote the Gospels were aware that they were writing Scripture, which is amazing to think of. Huh? But what do? They place it into this 1,000-year history of written text by which God's people lived and fought and died, and they were faithful. Of course, there were people who weren't, but God's people, fed by God's word and God's liturgy, persevered all those years waiting for the promise made to Abraham, repeated to Jacob, repeated again, repeated by all the prophets. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and you shall call him Emmanuel, God with us. He's really God with us. Finally. So now when you're going to try to describe this indescribable mystery, how are you going to do it? You're going to take the sacred language of God's people and show how now it's fulfilled. But not just footnote, notice how this is fulfilled. Anybody can do that, and it wouldn't be impressive. It wouldn't help. But to read this story in the light of the incident in the psalm where God comes to protect those who call on him, and in the middle of this, have Jesus make this divine declaration, I am. At least now we know what the Holy Spirit has to bring us to, a living, transforming experience of the divinity of Jesus.